This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, A Father's Point of View. Pastor Jenkins discusses fatherhood with his sons. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. So excited to be here this morning. Can we just, I know we've been doing it all morning, but can we make some noise for the fathers in the room and online in the world, wherever they are? Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Let's, matter of fact, all the fathers, could you stand? If you're a father in the house, could you stand? Let's see you this morning. That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So this is a special day today, and I'm excited to be here. Me and, my little brother Jimmy with our dad. So as you guys heard, we are going to examine the father's playbook of fatherhood. My dad is a man of God. He's not just a pastor to you guys, but he's been a father to many. So we're going to explore some of the plays that he called, whether me and Jimmy and our brothers and sisters liked it or not. He called some plays. Yes, he did. And so we are going to have a transparent, real conversation with our dad today. I'm excited about it. And I'm also comfortable because he can't beat me because I have my own house now. So if I ask anything he don't like, I go to my house. I ain't got to go to his house. Amen. So, Dad, Jimmy, how you doing today? You looking good?
Blessed and highly favored, filled with the love of the Lord. God is just so good. God is so good, isn't he? Amen.
Is he good?
All right, praise the Lord. Just so everybody know, I am a Christian. I am saved. I've been baptized. Hallelujah.
Okay, so Dad, we're going. How you feeling today, Dad? How you feeling today?
Marvelous.
Good, good, good. So we're going to go ahead. We got some fathers up here that are representing some other fathers. So they joining us today. Good to see you. So, Dad, we're going to get right into the conversation, ask you some questions, okay? Some real life questions. And the first question we want to start off with in this playbook are some fundamentals.
Hold on, Dad, before you start, I do want to let you know that we do have a whistle. Yeah. And we do have a flag. So if there's any time where we need to pull this out, we know we need to go take Pastor Jenkins to the review play. We need to review the play.
We need to review the play.
Okay, so we got our utensils, just so you guys know.
Right. So Dad, let's let's talk about...
Do I get one of those?
No, you don't get one of those. You don't get one of those.
We the referees today.
We today, that's right.
Yes, we the refs today.
So Dad, what are some fundamental principles that as a father you lived by and applied to your life that you feel like are good for all fathers?
First of all, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today. And I want to salute my sons for talking me into doing this today. Our creative team came up with this idea. Which I resisted for several months. But the answer to your question is I want to glean some of the things that I have incorporated as a part of my life from the story of the father and his sons and the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. So number one is a father's role is to show unconditional love to his children. Unconditional love. And sometimes that can be difficult. Now, if I could just be honest and tell the truth, we got six kids. Jimmy was number four. If he had been number one, there would be no other children. He was our strongest willed the child with the strongest will. He was determined he was going to do something no matter what his parents said.
Yeah.
And he's still like that to this day.
Yeah.
But we wanted to show, and we should show, fathers should show unconditional love. That doesn't mean that you agree with everything they want to do or everything that they do, but you look out for their best, what's in their best interest over the long haul of life. So let's start off with that being the driving force of every father is to unconditionally love their children.
So I know every family got a Jimmy. Where are the Jimmys at? If you are a Jimmy, let me see, put your hands up. Good. And see, listen, you special. You special. You're going to change the world. You're going to change the world. I'm telling you, you're going to change the world. So, Dad, how do you deal? Because I know a lot of my friends, I didn't really realize how fortunate I had it. I thought all dads were like you. I was lucky. We were lucky. We were blessed.
Blessed.
Yes, we were blessed. Because everybody, a lot of my friends didn't have the relationship or being able to see their father every day. There was a strain. How do you deal with a difficult relationship or a difficult child? Or how can you handle that? What would you say to fathers who kind of have that strain?
How does a father deal with a difficult child? How did I deal with you?
Yeah. Let's talk about Come on, that. Talk to him.
What do you remember?
I remember you had a switch and a belt. And y'all would have thought I was, listen, I'm telling you, I still got whelps on my back from when I was like 8, 9. But what would you say? Because I don't think y'all allowed to beat y'all kids no more. You know, you can go to jail for that now. So I grew up at the wrong time. John Jenkins would be in jail. He'd be locked up in jail. But he whipped me straight now. But what would you say to those people? Because Dad, you'd be locked up. You'd be at the prison, the prison sentence. Oh, you did to me.
But it worked.
It did work.
Thank God it worked. My Lord, today it worked.
The problem is, parents are afraid to discipline their children. Now, I hate that you're telling these people that you have whelps on your backs and all of that. You might have some whelps on your butt. But, you know, when a child is rebellious, not just when they do wrong, but when they willingly, knowingly disregard your instructions, the Bible says and teaches that the rod will drive foolishness out of their hearts. Now, I'm not promoting that. That should be a last resort. That shouldn't be your first resort. I think some parents use that kind of discipline as the first choice in raising up their children. It should not be your first choice. It should be like the last thing after you've loved them, taught them.
Flag on the play. We got a penalty on Pastor Jenkins. It was not the last resort.
It was the first resort.
It was a 15 yards going back.
I think he's dead. I think Jimmy is saying.
Maybe it was first for me. Maybe it was first for me. The other kids, it wasn't first. But for Jimmy Jenkins, it was first. And last.
But then, well, let's talk about that. Because you had 6 kids, Dad. You had 6 of us. So
I didn't have 6. Your mom.
Well, mom had 6. Mom had 6. Mom, y'all had 6 of us. So, you know, do you deal with every child the same?
You do not deal with every child the same. Every child has their own personality. This is an important point, Saints. Some of my children, my oldest daughter, Sarah, I could tell her one time, and it's done. This one over here. repeatedly, you have to tell him, didn't I tell you?
Yeah.
So you have to deal with children based on their temperament and their personality. And yeah. Every child needs something different. So I think it's a mistake and it's a misnomer to have a mentality that every child should be treated exactly the same.
Got it. That's good. Okay. There's been a story that I've been waiting for an opportunity like this to address. It's a story of me coming in the window at 3 a.m. You know, I don't know if anybody's heard that story. His father used it in that, like, 90% of his messages for whatever reason. But I want to talk about that story because what most of you know, I was wrong. I admit that. I was coming from a party at Bowie State University. I went to Bowie State University. I went to hang at BSU. You already know. Yes, indeed. And yes, sir. And I came in the window. We have a long driveway, so when I came down the driveway, I put my car in neutral, and I cut the car off.
And you turned your lights off.
And I turned my lights off because I was trying to coast. You got to get creative when you're trying to do what you got to do to get. So I coasted down the driveway. There was a window that we knew. All of my brothers. I was not the only one to use the window. For the record. For the record. And so we left it unlocked. We knew the alarm wouldn't sound. So when I opened the window and I climbed in, I looked at the floor and his feet were like this. And I just saw his feet right there. He was leaning on the wall like this. And said, "So this is how y'all been doing it." And I just said, "I'm sorry." But I've made other mistakes like that in life. Jimmy has made a lot more than I have. But how do you deal with a child when they, you know, the biggest thing for me, man, growing up was to disappoint you. Even now, I don't, that hurts. That, you didn't really have to beat me. To know I disappointed you was enough for me, and it still is enough for me. But how do you deal with a child who has made a critical mistake and has disappointed you? You know, Jimmy, I know you said Jimmy got beat, but Jimmy is, like you said, he's strong-willed, and, you know, he is, I know you're very proud of him. We're all very proud of Jimmy right now, but how do you deal with a child who's made multiple mistakes over and over again? How do you coach or guide them through it, and how do you, as a father, handle that, you know?
So, the 6 kids that we have, here's what I learned. I think I've said this before. I want to say it again. All of our children, at some point in their life, started smelling themselves. So parents, don't get shocked when your children begin to act like they know more than you. All of my kids, I don't care how wholesome, godly they have, some of them have been, reached stages in their development when they started thinking that they knew more than dad or mommy and they were smarter or they knew better. And I've always tried to recognize that now, and I understand that now, that it's a part of the growth and development. And you just have to, I would say to parents, you have to be patient with kids. You have to give them space. Because we all have grown up and made choices and made decisions that we wish we hadn't have made. So patience, teaching, this is what my philosophy is. You patiently, you teach them, you work with kids and give them the opportunity to make errors and mistakes and just deal with them as best in a loving, compassionate way. Is what we got to do. That's my guidance to you.
So my question, I know, like, for me, a lot of times I was a lost child. I was the prodigal son. When the Lord was writing it, he was talking about me, the prodigal son running away, squandering everything. Everything, my lunch money, I squandered that. Anything I got from my dad, I squandered it. But how do you help to be there for a lost child, and sometimes there's lost fathers who aren't there for their children. How can you forgive and deal with those that are lost?
Yeah, that's the ultimate question, is forgiveness. We got to learn to forgive. We got to learn to be patient. Patience is the order of the day. Be patient with your kids and teach them. Be patient.
So what about financially? How should you be there for your child financially, and when should you stop being there for your child? Because you ain't giving me no money in a long time. It's like, I'm just playing. He actually invested in my first movie. He invested in my first movie. My dad is great. He made his money back, and he get checks every 90 days now. So
yes, indeed.
He happy, but how do you do that?
You still owe me some more money from that.
I don't owe you. I paid you
back.
No, you
have not.
I'm almost.
It's climbing.
It's climbing. It's getting there. It takes a while with these movies, you know?
Another thing that a father can do for their child is invest in their dreams, their hopes and aspirations. I would say to fathers, it's not about you consuming and squandering. That's not the right word. There's a better way than you spending your money and your resources all on yourself. If there's any issue that I see that's a problem, here you are, 60 years old, still spending money on yourself when your children need your help. Your children, all of my children, I have invested in them. I am investing in them. I want to help them with their kids. Help them with your grandkids. Invest. Yeah. Spend the resources. Don't squander it on yourself. I recognize that everything God has done for me, He didn't do it for me. He did it for my children.
Yeah.
That's an important point, and I want all fathers to get that. I know you want that Porsche, that Mercedes, but can that money do better and spend the opportunity to invest in your legacy by being a blessing to your children and your grandchildren?
Yeah.
So I'm proud of all of my kids are responsible. They do pay their bills. I'm not encouraging you to just bail them out every time. This one here, one time he bought a car. He got a great deal on the car. I said to him, there's something wrong with that deal. If that is such a great car, you can't get a car that cheap. But what did you do?
Hard-headed.
He went on and bought it.
I was young and stupid.
And he's in the restaurant eating dinner one night. Comes out to get in his car, and from out of nowhere, police come from every place.
Yep.
Right?
Everywhere, with their guns out.
With their guns out.
Mm-hmm. Then I start screaming, I'm Pastor Jenkins' son. I didn't do it. I'm Pastor Jenkins' son. I didn't do nothing, y'all. I don't do nothing wrong. I'm Pastor Jenkins' son. Then they put their guns up, and then they call my dad. It's like,
no, they arrested him.
They arrested him.
Because the car was stolen.
Yeah.
And he didn't know it. The guy had created a fake title and fake bill of sales and all of that and sold him a stolen car.
And a note for that, if you ever buy a car, the real VIN number is on the engine, if you don't know. Always check that, because I didn't know that. Check the VIN number on the engine. Make sure it match.
Or I believe this wholeheartedly. I learned this from my dad. Consider strongly what your father or your mother tells you. Strongly, when you get to a point where you are older and you're on your own, I never make a decision without calling my dad. A major decision. Buying a car, buying a house, whatever the case. My dad has to see it. I know if it's not something, he'd be like, Josh. You twist that mustache. But strongly consider, because God, regardless of whether we like it or not, God speaks through authority. And I believe that regardless if you agree with what your parents, their ways or whatever the case may be, God can still speak through your parent. And we can save ourselves some lot of trouble if we just strongly weigh and consider what our parents tell us. So Dad, that's going to my next question. What are some, you know, we talked about some mistakes that children made. What are some, you know, I know people like to want to hear, what are some mistakes that you feel like you made as a father that you are still learning from or whatever?
Yeah, my biggest mistake that I made that I regret is being in pursuit of significance at the expense of time with my family. Jot that down. Chasing after importance, chasing after acceptance by, you know, I had opportunity to meet some of the biggest names in the church and gospel music and pastors and chasing after those relationships and neglecting my family. And so my older kids, Joshua, Sarah, Anna, I neglected them. And the fact that I have the kind of relationship with them today that I do is the forgiveness and mercy of God. Who, by the way, wait, don't clap yet. If you have made a mistake with your children, we serve a God who will give you the opportunity to restore what you destroyed. And he gave me the opportunity to restore those relationships, and I did better with my younger kids. And so my biggest mistake, and I would say to fathers, spend time with your kids. You will never spend too much time with your kids. Do things with them. Create memories with them. In this day and age, here's something else I would tell you. Make memories. Take pictures. Do videos. Because let me tell you what the devil's going to do. The devil's going to talk to your kids later on in life and tell them, your mother don't love you, your father don't love you, they don't care about you, they hate you. The devil's going to talk to them. But if you take those pictures and do those videos and spend that time, you are creating images in their mind that they can go back and see, my father does love me, my mother does love me. They spent time with me. They care for me. I would encourage you, spend time with your children. That was my biggest mistake with my older kids.
That's good. That's good. And I think, you know, to that, I have learned, you know, I'm a father. I have three boys, Jet, Jason, Jude. I know they're probably watching me right now. But I find myself because, being transparent, during those times where, you know, I didn't see my dad or, you know, he might have missed a game or, you know, whatever the case may be, I've learned from my father's mistake. And I think that there are young fathers who are in the room that you don't, even though your dad or may have made some mistake with you, don't be bitter towards your father. Forgive him, even if they haven't apologized. Thank God my dad apologized and I've forgiven him, but I have learned even from his mistakes. So, you know, I try my best to be, you know, if it's making money or taking my kids to T-ball, I'm going to T-ball. And I'm not ashamed of it. So, Dad, I learned from that mistake, as me being a father. So, you know, what the devil meant for evil. Huh? Don't tune me up, Doc, because I'll go there. I preached 3 weeks ago, but I got some O in me. I can get up here. Jim, you got to...
For me, like I said, I was a very troubled kid, but, like, when I look back at my life and I kind of see, you know, I don't do everything right, but I am so blessed to have my parents.
Yeah.
My parents.
Yeah.
And I know some people may have lost their parents. Their parents might not be here anymore. But if you have your parents, they're so precious. Yeah. My mom and dad will tell you, it ain't a game that go by that I don't watch it with my dad. It's not a game. I don't care. I mean, if I got to go film or something, I'll miss it. But if it's a game on, I don't go hang out with my friends. That's my time with my dad. And he'll tell you, it's been like that for 5 years. I would never miss that time. I go to my, I got my own house. I ain't got no kids. I ain't got no wife. I ain't got as much commitment as Josh does. But I'm always at my parents' house.
That's good.
Because they're so precious to me.
That's good, Jim.
And I don't know, you know, we don't know. We don't know what life brings. But I want you to know,
if you got
parents, if you're fortunate enough to have parents, don't take it for granted spending time with them. You have to do it. You have to do
it. That's good, Dad. That's good, Jim.
It's very important.
That's good. Dad, final thoughts, I guess, that you want to, you know, I know we the scripture of the prodigal son was read, and, you know, we talked about kind of a lot, forgiving and so forth, seeing your children. The Bible says in that parable that Jesus taught, that the father saw his son who had squandered everything, made mistakes. He saw him from afar, ways off, and he didn't wait for him to come to him. He went and he covered him. He covered him even in his shameful state.
Slow down, because you skipped over something that's very important.
Okay.
When the prodigal son, Luke 15, came back, the scripture says when he decided to go back home, his father saw him. Wait. While he was still yet a far way off. Y'all missed a great spot. A father is always looking with expectations.
That's good.
That one day my child is going to come back home.
That's good.
Come back to be what I raised him to be. Come back to be what I wanted and prayed for them to be. He's always having expectations that that child is going to do what they're supposed to do. When they called me about Jimmy being arrested for having a stolen car, I can look back now, and yes, they took the car and returned it to his owner, and he got cleared from that situation. But even though he was the toughest child in the world raising, he has made me proud. He has turned his life around. Yeah. He's an obedient son,
and I'm
proud of him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm proud of him.
Thank you.
And you know what the scripture says? The father ran to his son. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling fathers, don't wait. If you see your child, don't wait for them to come back. You go to them. You make an effort to go to them. You make an effort to call them. You make an effort to engage them. I feel a preacher coming on me right now.
Yeah. That's good.
And
so listen, right now,
yeah.
There are many people in here that have had a father. Is this okay to?
Yeah.
There are many people in here who have had a father or have not had a father. But this is what I believe, because I've seen it happen with my father. My father's not just been a father to me and my brothers and sisters. He's been a father to thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. He fathers every day. He fathers pastors and our leaders, and even our friends, he's fathered. And there have been people who may not have feel like they have a father or have not have a father figure, but you have an eternal father in heaven who right now you may be a far way off. But today, you can come back home. So this is what I want to do real quick. Let's stand to our feet. Is that okay? Let's stand to our feet. I don't want to miss this opportunity to extend Jesus Christ to somebody who feels fatherless. There might be some fathers in here who might feel like they have missed the mark. There might be a child in here who's never accepted Jesus Christ. There might be a father in here who never accepted Jesus Christ, or a mother. But right now, I want to offer you the opportunity to get it right with God today on this Father's Day. This is a great time to get back connected, to get connected to Jesus Christ, to the best father you could ever have. So listen, if that's you, if you never accepted Jesus, if you've never, come on, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you've never accepted Jesus, if you want to establish a relationship with the true and the best Father, make your way out of your seat right now. Don't let another moment pass by. Swallow your pride. Just come down right now, wherever you are. Just come down right now. I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth and the life. He'll forgive you of your sins. So listen, if you're unsaved, you never accepted Jesus. If you are in a backsliding state, meaning you accepted Jesus, but you know you've turned back and went back to your own way, I'm talking to you. If you're unsure, if you don't know if you're saved or not, I'm talking to you. There might be some children in here who have bitterness towards their father, feels like God has turned his back on you, but he has not. He never has. He never will. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now.
In the name of Jesus.
I see you, bro. Come on, man. Come on, y'all. Y'all give God praise in this place. So listen, you might feel like you're in a posture right now where you either are a father or you're a child and you don't feel like you can be forgiven. God wants to forgive you right now of all of your sins. All you have to do is repent and believe in him. So if you want forgiveness of sin, if you want forgiveness, just like the son came back and his father went out to him, the father forgave him. Come right now. Come right now.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.